Since his return to civilian life, our star of the week has been a busy man indeed. His stock is soaring higher than ever these days. Before the war, his versatile performances won him a legion of fans, for you have seen him in musicals like The Dolly Sisters and dramatic roles such as Sentimental Journey, and will shortly be seeing him in Miracle on 34th Street. We're happy indeed to present our guest and star, Mr. John Payne.
And believe me, Les, I'm happy to be back in the swing of things again. I've been looking forward to this for some time.
You know, John, I've seen a great many actors make an entrance, but your last-minute arrival on a motorcycle this evening tops them all.
Well, that motorcycle takes a lot of time and care, but it got me here in time for the first curtain.
And just in time at that. Suppose we finish our chat after the final curtain.
That'll be fine, Les.
It's Act One of I Give You Maggie, written by Walter Newman and starring Mr. John Payne. Now, curtain going up. Places, everyone. Curtain. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
Please, not form versus content again.
All right, then name a better picaresque novel than Huckleberry Finn.
Never says anything, but Lord, how that man can write. Better than Gone with the Wind.
I'd say he comes with the tag end of the British Literary
Tradition. That's better. Now, at least, we can hear ourselves think. Have you ever encountered a gathering noisier than a literary cocktail party, Mrs. Paget?
Well, this is the first I ever attended.
Really? You'll be at lots of them from now on, I dare say. They're all the same. Coffee clutches, basically. Here, you sit here on the couch and I'll take this armchair.
All right.
Ooh, my feet are killing me. I'll just slip off these shoes. Make myself comfortable before we begin. Care for a cigarette?
No, thank you, Miss... Oh, dear, I'm sorry.
Oh, not at all. Daphne Lewis, Mrs. Paget. Assistant literary editor of the Times.
Oh, yes, of course.
I thought it might make a rather interesting column for next Sunday if I interviewed you. The woman behind the author, you know.
Well, I'm afraid it won't be very interesting.
Darling, of course it will. Though, frankly, it's not my personal dish of tea. Comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when did you and Tommy marry, Mrs. Paget? And how did it come about?
It's 8:10, Maggie. Does he usually keep you waiting like this?
Well, the clock must be fast, Mama.
Maggie, what your mother and I can't understand is why you haven't had him up the house before. After all, you've known him for how long? 3-4 months?
Maggie, is he serious? You know what I mean.
You'll see, Mama.
What do you mean, I'll see, Maggie?
Oh, there he is.
I tell you, I don't like it. Young girl ought to bring her boyfriends around so her parents can see him.
Tom, my father, and my mother.
Mrs. Banner, Mr. Banner.
And my sister, Nona.
Hello, Nona.
Hello, Tom.
Harry.
Here. Sit down, Tom. Sit down. Would you like a drink?
Oh, we have to go.
Oh, he can sit down for a few minutes, can't he? We'd like to get acquainted. Go ahead, sit down, Tom. Oh. There now.
Maggie tells us that...
Maggie tells us you've been around a lot.
Some.
Oh, he's been all over and done everything.
That's fine. Now go ahead. We'd like to hear.
Well, I ran away from St. Albans Orphanage in Beulah, New York about 12 years ago when I was 14. I was a road kid for 3 years.
Orphanage?
Yeah, my folks were killed in a train wreck.
Road kid?
That's a young hobo. Rode the rods and boxcars all over this country and Canada and Mexico. Slept under bridges. Begged from door to door. I've been jailed on vagrancy charges 20, 30 times.
That's fine. What else?
Oh, not much of anything.
Well, he was a roustabout with a circus and then a cowhand in Wyoming. And you helped build the Chrysler building, didn't you?
Oh.
And he did a hitch with the Marines and shipped on a cattle boat and worked his way through Europe and Africa and all like that, you know. He really...
What are you doing now?
Well, I read a lot. That's how I met Maggie at the library. I think I'm going to be a writer.
I suppose you've put aside a lot of money to keep you going until you begin to sell your stories.
Mrs. Banner, I have a personal fortune of $5.
Not very much, is it?
Nope. In fact, after I take Maggie out for a walk tonight and buy her a soda, I'll have just about enough left for a marriage license in the morning.
You what?
Maggie!
Well, that's right, wasn't it, with you, Maggie? I haven't made a mistake, have I?
No, Tom, you haven't made a mistake.
Wait a second, you two.
What are you going to live on?
Well... that will be a problem.
Well, I make 35 a week.
Oh, there now. We can easily manage on that, Mrs. Banner.
You're going to let her support you?
Well, what can a writer do? Anything but writing is a waste of time for me, don't you see?
A waste of time to make a living for a wife?
Well, it's a waste of time for a writer to do anything but write. If you object to Maggie's working, I have an idea. Why not give us some money?
Well, how do you like
call
that?
Call it a business investment, Papa.
Under any name, no. Maggie, if you marry this tramp, you can get out of this house tonight and stay out. I mean it.
Papa!
I mean it.
Give me your hand, Tom. I'm all shaky.
Here, kid, squeeze it. Squeeze hard. Ready, Maggie?
Ready, Tom.
I said, when did you and Tommy marry, Mrs. Paget? And how did it come about?
Oh, July 17th, 1936. Hmm? He just asked me, and I said yes.
How unusual. Oh, don't mind me. So, you married a budding genius. How did you find it? Bitter? Sweet?
Maggie.
Yes?
I'm finished for the day. Is supper ready?
Ready? Been on the table for 3 hours. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Well, I'm sorry about supper, honey. I got involved in a... You didn't wait for me, did you? You ate, didn't you?
No, I waited for you.
Oh, you should have eaten. I just don't get hungry when I'm... What are the cake and candles for? Is it my birthday?
No, it's not your birthday. Tom, don't tell me you've forgotten.
Forgotten? Oh, no, I didn't forget.
Yes, you did. Our first anniversary, and you've forgotten.
I didn't forget, babe. Honest, I didn't. I have a present for you right here in my pocket. Wait a second. Here, take it.
What is it?
It's a sonnet. Can you read my writing?
Oh, for Maggie on our first wedding anniversary.
Go ahead, read it.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a day. But thy eternal summer shall not fade.
Well, you like it?
Like it? Oh, Tom, it's beautiful. Better than Shakespeare.
Heck, it is Shakespeare, babe. I didn't have time to compose one, so I copied it. Says what I mean, anyway.
Oh, Tom, it's the nicest present. I'm so happy.
Me too. It turned out about 10 pages today, and 2 or 3 of them aren't bad.
Well, each week it gets better and better. Do you realize we'll be on our vacation this time next week? One beautiful, sun-drenched week of it. One week of no subway and no office and no ironing and no dishes and...
Maggie, I meant to tell you...
We simply toss our $40 into the hotel owner's lap, and in return he gives us 7 days of paradise.
We don't have $40. Only 12.
I don't understand.
After you left for the office this morning, I accidentally knocked the old typewriter on the floor. It fell apart. The man at the shop said it cost $18 to fix and to take 10 days. He let me rent the typewriter I'm using for $1 a day. 18 plus 10 equals 28. 28 from 40 leaves no vacation.
Couldn't you have used a pencil?
Oh, Maggie, don't. Don't cry, honey. Please, babe. Babe, you know I can't stand seeing you cry.
You're crying, too.
Well, that's because you are. Now, don't kid, please. I'm too big a guy to be crying, so stop. Oh, Please, Maggie. Here. Let me pour milk into your glass. I'm going to propose a toast. Ladies and gentlemen of the Pulitzer Prize Committee, ladies and gentlemen of the press, friends, in accepting this award for literature, I do not accept it for myself, but for the person who really deserves all the credit accruing to my book. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Maggie.
I said, how did you find it? Bitter? Sweet?
A little bit of both, I guess. A little bit of both.
Well, you're really opening up to me, aren't you? Oh, never mind. These interviews are always awkward at first. Now, tell me, Did Tom write any novels before this one? Or any stories? Or plays?
Tom! Tom!
What is it,
Ray? A letter!
So what?
It's from the Carlton House Publishing Company for you.
Gee.
Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Maggie, listen. No matter what they say, it makes no difference between us, does it?
Open it, open it.
Well, here goes nothing.
What does it say?
Here, you read it. I can't.
Oh, I can't read it either. Oh.
Read
Thursday,
it.
February 8th, Mr. Thomas Padgett, 119 West 15th Street.
Oh, skip all
that. And so on and so on and so on. And one of the most unusual novels we have ever read. Tom!
Go on.
And so on and so on. And we wish we could tell you that we like it, but frankly, we consider it too advanced for present taste.
Oh.
So on and so on and so on.
I'm going for a walk.
Tom.
Oh, I'm all right, babe. Honest, I just feel like going for a walk.
They're idiots. It doesn't mean a thing.
Sure. I see you soon.
Please, Tom, let me go with you.
I'm all right, I tell
you. No, please. I won't talk. I'll be so quiet.
Well.
Give me your hand. I'm all shaky.
Squeeze it, kid. Squeeze hard. Ready, Maggie?
Ready, Tom.
I said it must have been quite a struggle for you two.
It had its compensations.
And Tommy just kept plugging away at his writing.
That's right. Except for one period.
But why didn't you call a doctor before this?
I wanted to, Nona, but Tom said it was just a cough. He wouldn't let me. And then he began to hemorrhage.
Oh, there, Maggie. He's going to be all right. Sid says Dr. Frankenberg is the best lung specialist in the state. Just shut your eyes and pray.
Mrs. Padgett, I'll give it to you straight from the shoulder if you think you can take it. Tuberculosis.
Oh.
No. Wait a minute. We've caught it in time, I think. I'll know definitely after studying the x-rays, but I think we've caught it in time. Mrs. Padgett, your husband will have to go away for a while.
How long?
2 years, maybe three, maybe longer.
May I go in to see him, Doctor?
Don't let him talk too much.
No.
That you, kid?
Not to talk.
Did the doc tell you?
Try to sleep, dear.
You've been hit a low blow. He wants me to go to Arizona. Listen, babe. Get a divorce.
Tom.
No, I mean it. Get a divorce.
I'm not listening.
You've got to listen, Maggie. I know you're thinking about me being alone in the sanitarium or something, but, kid, I've been alone most of my life. I'm used to it. And the time we've had together, that's so much gravy for me. I never expected anything like you. I never dared hope that...
You selfish pig. If you think a few tuberculosis germs can give you an excuse for a divorce after a very hammy renunciation speech... Yes, it was very ham. You're enormously mistaken.
Forces of evil. Powers of darkness. I give you Maggie.
Except for one period. When was that?
When he was ill.
Well, how long was he ill?
Almost 4 years. Tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do all that time?
I got a job in an army camp nearby. An officer used to drive me to work.
And was this officer a friend?
Maggie? This is the last time I'll be driving you to Tucson.
Oh, Spence. Shipping out?
Uh-huh. I've been assigned to an observation job on the East Coast.
Oh, Spence.
There's something I want to say.
What?
If you don't mind, I'll say it while driving. Maggie, I've been wondering if you know I'm in love with you. very much in love with you.
Don't, Spence.
Can't help it. I'm not the suffering silence type. I want you to get a divorce and marry me.
No, Spence.
Face facts. They're brutal, but they have to be faced. Your husband is an invalid. He's been at the sanitarium for how long? 2 years? Three? He may be there 10 more. And where does that leave you? You see him only twice a month. You can't even kiss him.
No, Spence.
Sure?
Very sure.
That's that, then. That's all the ammo in my clip. You know something? Sick as your husband is and healthy as I am, if I could change places with him and you were in on the deal, I'd do it in a second. And I'd think I'd gotten the best of the bargain.
Oh, Spence, sure.
Oh, what's the use of talking? Let's not talk for a while, huh?
And what happened after Tommy recovered?
He went on writing. Then he finally got a break. He met Felice Harrow.
That was a lucky break, wasn't it?
What else did she say, Tom?
Maggie, she was wonderful. Maggie, she's the sort of agent I've dreamed about.
Pretty?
Oh, enormously so. Everyone turned around to look at her when we entered the restaurant.
It's all very encouraging.
Isn't it? I feel tremendously set up about the whole thing. Oh, I almost forgot. I'm having dinner with her, and we're going to spend a few hours discussing some revisions.
Oh, so? Where is her place?
Oh, somewhere on Long Island. Pick out a tie for me, will you, and lay out some clothes, huh, babe? Say, do we have any money?
I have a $5 bill.
Well, put it in my trousers, will you? Do you think I ought to buy a candy or flowers or something?
Whichever you think best, dear.
Okay. If she calls, tell her I'll be on time, not to fret.
I will.
Meeting Felice was a lucky break, wasn't it, for both of them?
She loved the book and began to try to sell it.
That must have been an excruciating time.
Oh, it was.
Oh, Maggie, you look awful.
I do?
Awful? You used to be such a pretty girl, too. You ought to be shot for letting yourself run to seed this way.
Well, I haven't run to seed.
Oh, look at the lines in your face. How old are you now? 31? Do you know how old you look?
How old?
31.
Was that bad?
Disgraceful. You ought to look at least 5 years younger than your age at 31. At 41, you ought to look at least 10 years younger. And at 51...
All right, Noni, you've made your point.
Where's Tom?
With Felice, I think.
Seeing a lot of her, isn't he? Aren't I the cat?
Well, why shouldn't he? She's his agent. They have to confer a good deal.
Any news on the book?
Been turned down by almost every publishing house in the country. But she keeps trying.
I'll bet she does at that.
And then the Colonial Press decided to publish it.
That's right. It was their first publishing venture.
That's good human interest. Did they accept the book for publication as soon as they read it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. How much? Oh, no, I agree. There must be some way. I think that's fine, Felice. Yes, I really do. All right, goodbye. Well, we're in.
Tom, no.
Mm-hmm.
You're not exactly quivering with joy.
Well, there's a catch. The Colonial Press is a new outfit and a small one. Two kids just starting out. They can't finance the whole deal themselves. They're $2,500 shy.
Dollars?
I don't think they mean pennies.
Well, maybe Papa would help us.
Uh-uh. Not a line from him nor a phone call since we're married. Nope. Say, have Sid and Nona any spare?
No, the new house has taken it all.
And Felice is broke. Well, that's that. Finish.
Now, don't talk that way. You've worked too hard for us to be stopped now. Something will turn up.
What's the use? They tell me a writer can make a living in pulp stories. He reached for his Roscoe and I beat him to the draw. Pow, pow.
Tom, don't. Now, stop it. Where are you going?
Oh, I don't know. Out for a walk, I guess. Maybe I'll go over to Felice's office later and see if we can work something out.
Oh, Tom.
Mrs. Paget.
Oh, pardon me. No, they didn't accept the book for publication at once. They didn't have enough money.
Then who?
I managed to get some.
How?
From a friend.
Maggie.
Hello, Spence.
Maggie, I've missed you. Why didn't you write?
Well,
Maggie, is Tom...
Complete cure. He's been well for more than 2 years.
Oh. You and he are still...
Still married.
And in love?
Oh, Spence, I'm miserable.
I think Tom wants out. He hasn't said anything, but he's going to be a famous man, Spence, and I don't seem to fit into his life anymore. You know that line about successful writers and the women they happened to marry when they were young?
Who is she, Maggie?
Tom's agent, Felice Harrell. She's young and smart and literary, just as Tom is. Oh, excuse me, Spence. I didn't come to let my heart out. I've come to ask you for $2,500.
$2,500?
Felice can get Tom's book published if he can put up that amount, and there's no one to whom we can turn for the money, and he's worked so hard for so long, and it's a grand book, and it deserves to be published.
Shifting Sands.
What?
Everyone changes. Nothing's the same as when you saw it last. $2,500? All right. I'll give you $2,500 on one condition, that you divorce Tom and marry me.
Divorce?
Don't stop to think. Quick, what do you say?
No.
I know it. Did I say everyone changes? I take it back. Everyone except Maggie. Still a fighter, huh, Maggie?
Spence, I'm...
Want to know something? If you'd said yes, you'd have come no nearer to $2,500 of my dollars than any other stranger. But you're no stranger, are you? Still the Maggie I remembered. Back against the wall and still punching.
And so the book was published and the rest is history.
That's right.
Well, I guess that's about all. Didn't hurt, did it?
I told you it wouldn't be very interesting.
Almost everything concerning a Pulitzer Prize winner is interesting. It'll make a paragraph anyway. I'm terribly glad for Tom and Felice. There aren't two more attractive people in the literary game. She's stunning, isn't she?
Very.
Shall we go back to the party?
No, I'll stay here for a moment if you don't mind. I want to fix my hair.
Well, see you soon.
You used to be such a pretty girl.
Felice is wonderful. Smart as a whip.
You used to be such a pretty girl. How old are you now? 31? You used to be such a pretty girl.
I'm having dinner with Felice. Don't wait up for me.
He's seeing a lot of her, isn't he? You used to be such a pretty girl.
You mustn't let sentimentality trip you up. That's where most people go wrong. You have to be hard.
You used to be such a pretty girl.
Maggie, come on out. Maggie. What is it, babe? What's happened?
Oh, Tom. I'm not pretty anymore. I was standing in front of the mirror and I found the gray hair. I'm not young and pretty anymore. I'm not, am I, Tom?
No, Maggie. You're not pretty anymore.
Oh.
You're merely beautiful.
Don't, Tom. Oh,
your face is beginning to lie. There's a line between your eyebrows that wasn't there when we were first married. And here's one I saw form when my first book was rejected. And another that was etched while I was sick. Oh, there are several lines. To say nothing of your one gray hair. Mary, you imbecile. I didn't marry you because you're pretty. Felice is a pretty girl, but you're a beauty. All the loveliness I saw deep inside you when we first met is just pushing its way out. I'll admit I'm prejudiced. But I say you're beautiful. Now here, blow. Now take my hand. Squeeze it. Squeeze hard, kid. You ready, Maggie?
Ready, Tom.
Now, here is our director, Les Mitchell. And here's the star of our play, Mr. John Payne. A very fine performance indeed, John, but that's to be expected of an actor of your caliber.
Well, thanks very much for the kind words, Les. However, part of this credit has to go to the script. After all, you know what they say, the play's the thing.
Well, could it be that we have here an actor who doffs his hat to the man behind the typewriter?
Mm-hmm, could be. Before I go, I'd like to thank Lorraine Tuttle, who played Maggie beautifully, and the rest of the cast for their fine performances. Good night.
Good night, John Payne.
Mr. John Payne was supported by Loreen Tuttle as Maggie, Gwen Delano as the mother, Earl Ross as the father, Rye Billsbury as Spence, Marion Wilkins as Nona and Daphne. I Give You Maggie was written by Walter Newman, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Thank you for being our guests, and we hope you'll be with us again next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Be sure to listen each week and hear such stars as Gail Storm, Art Linkletter, and many other great actors in great stories selected especially for them. John Payne appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Productions. Mr. Payne can be seen in the 20th Century Fox motion picture production, Miracle on 34th Street. Van Desitel speaking.